Good to see you out tonight. And as we look to the scriptures tonight, some of the thoughts that we have to consider will come from the Old Testament. You know, the weather we've been having lately has been very warm. The sun beats down, and if there's not been any rain, the earth gets very, very hard, especially if it's clay. You know, that's what sun will do to clay. It will harden it like a rock. But the same sun that hardens clay can also soften things. If you've ever accidentally left crayons in your car, you know, you come back and they're just like pooled. Hopefully that's not on the seat or somewhere important. But that's what happens. The sun can soften, the sun can harden. And that's really what God's Word can do to the hearts of individuals. God, as He commands us, as He speaks to us, His Word can go forth. And it can either have a softening effect or it can harden depending upon what's right here, what our hearts are like. And we are often, as human beings, impressed with the external qualities of a person. You know, their height, their strength, their beauty. But God, on the other hand, is very different. What He looks at is always the inside. What is a person like? What is the heart like? And we need to reflect upon that. God looks at our own hearts. We can't see the hearts of other people, but God sees all hearts. And He looks at ours, and what does He see? God, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And this was the occasion when the firstborn son of Jesse was rejected. But his youngest son was the one, David, because of the difference in the hearts. God works upon hearts. And God works upon hearts in the manner that we have just mentioned through His words, through His communication. God doesn't directly harden a heart through some supernatural means behind the scenes. He makes some people reject His Word and He makes other people receive it by some means apart from that person's free will. That's not how God operates. An example of this we can see in God's work on the hearts in Egypt, back in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'When you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go.'" And we're told that God did just that. If we notice then in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 12, it says, "But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said." Why was this the case? It says God hardens the heart of Pharaoh. Why would he do that? Notice, in Exodus 10, verses 1 and 2, the Lord said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants." Here's the answer to the question, why? "That I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." So God was going to use Pharaoh to bring about his great wonders that would be then repeated to your son, to your son's son, and you would tell of the greatness of God and what God had done, and that God is truly the Lord of Lords. In Exodus 14, verse 4, it says, "Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. So here is exactly what was predicted, and it's exactly what would happen. He hardened his hearts, the heart of Pharaoh and his men. They followed them, and Pharaoh, it wasn't the case that he really wanted to let the people go, but God made him, forced him against his will to do this. It wasn't that way at all. But rather, God, through Pharaoh's freedom of choice, was able to operate and bring about, because of the character of this man, his will. Even though Pharaoh had free will, wasn't forced, and God was able to bring about his will in all of these matters, it didn't take away from the freedom of choice that Pharaoh had. God still was able to accomplish his will. You'll notice that after the frogs had died in that particular plague, it says in Exodus 8 verse 5, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. So you see, it's expressed God hardened his heart in some passages, and in others it says that Pharaoh, when he saw the results of what happened after the plague was lifted, he hardened his heart. After the swarms of flies were removed, chapter 8, verse 32, but Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. So God used Pharaoh's predictable response to accomplish his will. The command of God and then the display of God's power produced the hardening effect on Pharaoh's heart. So you can tell someone the same thing as you tell another person. You might have two different outcomes because of what their character, what their heart is like. One of them may harden and say, I will not. And the other one says, okay, I'll go ahead. In Proverbs chapter 14, or rather chapter 28, verse 14, the Bible says, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. You see, it all has to do with the inside, what we're like here. God can actually harden hearts. How does he do that? Like with Pharaoh, through his word. His word can take an effect upon a certain heart and just make it even more rebellious to God, because God has placed demands on it. You must do this. And that kind of heart says, no, I will not. And Pharaoh was of that nature. But contrasting that with what we see in the city of Philippi in the New Testament is the opposite effect. In the New Testament, we read of God's work on another kind of heart. In Acts 16, verses 13 and 14, it says, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And then what we see on this occasion from verse 15 is that she and her household were baptized. So you see different effect. Same proclamation of God's will for mankind. Different times, different places, different hearts. In Matthew 12, verse 35, the Bible says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Matthew 15, verse 8 tells us that there were some people who would draw nigh to God with their mouth and honor him with their lips, but their heart was far from God. You see, it always comes down to what's going on the inside. The outside can appear one way, the inside entirely another. And so God, through his word, works on human hearts to either close them or open them, depending upon their character. The question is, for us, how do we respond to God's word and his call and his rebuke? To those who are hardened against God's will comes destruction, as with Pharaoh. Psalm 136, verse 15 says, concerning God who overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To those then like Lydia, whose heart was open to the truth, who obey God's word, comes salvation as it did to them, baptized into Christ. The choices, in other words, are always before us. And this is really on a daily basis, that we can either receive the truth or we can reject the truth. That we can either live by his word every day or lay it aside and do what we want to do. Tonight, reflect upon your own heart. Where does it stand before God? Ready to receive His Word, either to become a Christian through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, or to return to God, coming back to Him as a wayward child. You know, our hearts can always come back to God, but they must be tender. They must be hearts that can be touched by the words that bring forth life. If you need to respond to His call tonight, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.